directly spoke about the Ari Miklat in Perek Dalet. So let me just mention that briefly. We saw that Moshe Rabbeinu's first speech ends in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Mem. And then right afterwards, we're told in Pasuk Mem Aleph about his separating of the three Ari Miklat. Now, if he did it here, then the question is, why did he separate them particularly here? If he didn't do it here, the question is even stronger. Why does the Torah tell us about him doing it here? By hook or by crook, it must be that the separation is connected to the speech. And I think once we understand the content of the speech, which I hope we got a good understanding of in the last couple of shiurim, I think it's easy to understand why we're told about the separation of the Ari Miklat here, because Moshe's whole point is that conquest of the land, survival in the land of Israel, hinges on fulfilling the mitzvot that one needs to fulfill in the land of Israel. And so here's Moshe expressing that by fulfilling whatever mitzvah he can fulfill connected to the land, the Ari Miklat. And I think that's why there was such an emphasis we saw in the introduction to the speech in the first five psukim of Parashat Devarim, and mentioned again here about how this land was the land that was conquered from Sichon and Og, because that experience is the basis for the Jewish people seeing that the conquest of the land hinges on the aid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dafka, conquering the land of giants who they would not have thought they could conquer. In any case, in Perakei, Moshe begins the central speech of Sefer Devarim, right, the 22 Prakim Neuma Mitzvot, and as I mentioned before, it begins in Perek He and concludes in Perek Chaf Vav. I think there's a lot of basis for dividing the speech into two parts, just to make it more handleable, and that is Ve'etchanan and Ekev versus the continuation in Re'eh, Kiteitze and Kitavo. I think the basis of this, we'll soon see the internal structure within Ve'etchanan and Ekev, but let's take a look at the beginning of Re'eh as a dividing point. He kind of begins again, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chaf Vav, it's like an opening speech, an opening point. He wraps it around at the end of Perek Chavav, where he talks about the summary of the Brachot and the Klalot. And the truth is that content-wise, there's a distinction between Ve'etchanan and Ekev versus Re'eh and on that confirms the structural division. And that is that in Ve'etchanan and Ekev, he's speaking about Avodat Hashem versus Avodah Zarah. While in Re'eh and On, he's speaking about what we would call mitzvot. Now the truth is that that distinction is something that comes from the Aseret HaDibrot. Because, as we know, the two things that Hashem said directly to us were Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim Al Panai. Both of them are obviously Hashem speaking. Moshe would not have said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? The third Dibra, what we call the third Dibra, that is already Moshe quoting Hashem. Lo tisa Hashem, Hashem elokecha l'shav ki lo yinakeh, not ki lo enakeh. So, the two things that Hashem said to us were, Anochi Hashem elokecha lo yelech amarech panai, which makes sense that he would say those two things, because they're the core of what it means to be in Oved Hashem. Hashem and no other. And that's really what's being developed here in Ve'etchanan and Ekev. Avodat Hashem versus Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the other things which you might call mitzvot, that's Re'eh and On. So we're going to focus in on Prakim Hei through Yud Aleph. I think it's very clear when you take a closer look, and Tafka reaffirms the division a little bit, that there are three parts to this first part of the speech, Hei through Yud Aleph. And each of the three parts begin with the same two words. Right, based upon knowing how the first part begins, it's kind of easy to guess, right? Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael vayomer lehem, Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph, Shema Yisrael techukim et mishpatim. Part 2, Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, and we'll soon see after going through this about how it really does divide topically. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. And then the third part is where? Perek Tet Pasuk Aleph is the third Shema Yisrael. So here we want to ask ourselves, what's the relationship between these three parts of this speech, which includes the end of Ve'etchanan and Ekev? So let's begin with part one. We'll see how many parts we get done, right? Let's begin with part one. Part one, I think, is the most surprising part of the speech, and I think it doesn't... I don't know if it really does surprise us, and it should. Perek Hei is about what? If you ask the... Oh, interesting, you call it Matan Torah. Do we speak about it this month, Matan Torah? I don't know if we spoke about it. I don't remember. Matan Torah. It's interesting that you call it Matan Torah. You're assuming that that's what happened at Har Sinai, right? You assume that, of course, because that's what we call it on Shavuot, right? Zman Matan Torah Teinu. You know, just to clarify, the Torah as we know it was not given at Har Sinai, right? Or at least given to us in that way at Har Sinai, right? The written Torah wasn't given to Moshe. The way of sharpening the point you can make very clearly is, did Hashem tell Moshe about the Chet HaMeraglim? Or even more, the Chet Moshe Rabbeinu was going to do? Assumably not, right?
I know
what Chazal said. We're going to talk about it. I'm sorry, what do you want to say?
Like yesterday's daf.
That Evan HaTorah Mitzvah Asher Katavti Lohorotam. Luchot Evan Elu Aseret HaDibrot. HaTorah, just to make sure that you know that I know the Gemara, right? Now again, the Torah writes beferish in the end of Sefer Devarim that Moshe gave over the written Torah to Am Yisrael in Parshat Vayelach. And the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach debates whether it was written in stages or written all at the end of the 40 years. So even the written Torah wasn't given over fully. What did Moshe come down with? Nuchot HaBrit, right? The Aseret HaDibrot. The Aseret HaDibrot. Now, when Chazal say that Hashem told everything to Moshe, that means all of the mitzvot and all of the Torah that would happen in the future and that would be elaborated on in the future, all of the concepts of Torah were given to Moshe at Sinai. And even the details of Shemitah, right, the famous drasha, right, Makla, Terprate, all the details of all the mitzvot were given to Moshe at Sinai. Weren't written down, weren't given over to Bnei Yisrael in that form, but, and the stories for sure weren't told to Moshe. Which, of course, should get you to ask what the goals of Har Sinai were, and that we did discuss. That was the whole tangent a couple weeks ago. We discussed it. Were you there? Maybe you weren't there. We discussed this. Neither of you were there.
I heard it online.
I heard it online. Okay, you can listen to it online. Any case, getting back to the point, the average person would say that the purpose of Perek Hay, Perek Hay consists of talking about what happened at Har Sinai, and particularly the Aseret HaDibrot. Why is Moshe talking about this? I don't know if we ever asked that question, right? Maybe why?
It's
important. What? Well, we had it in Sefer Shemot. He's telling them about this so they'll have Emunah?
Yeah.
Emunah in who? Emunah in what?
In Torah and Mitzvah.
I think that would be a beautiful goal. It's not the one Moshe's speaking about. We have to look at what Moshe himself says. Now, by the way, it's tangential because if his point is Perek Hay Pasuk Aleph, ויאמר להם שמע ישראל את החוקים את המשפטים אשר אנכי דבר באזניכם היום ולמדתם אותם ושמרתם לעשות אותם ממונת על יונו מצוות. Well, that's not what he's doing in Perek Hay. That's why Perek Vav needs a reintroduction. Let's take a look for a second at the beginning of Perek Vav. After Moshe tells him the whole story about Ma'amad Har Sinai, it says, וזאת מצווה חוקים המשפטים אשר ציווה השם אלוקיכם ללמד אתכם לעשות בארץ אשר אתם עוברים שם למשתה. Why does Moshe have to repeat the introduction? Because Perek Hay was a tangent. Why? Take a look carefully at Perek Hay, and the truth is you don't have to take a look that carefully to see it. Because it's pretty clear. Moshe has a particular goal. Which is why, Devorah, I asked you to sharpen what you were saying, because it's not what you meant, but you did use the words. Let's take a look carefully at what he says. He starts telling them in Pasuk Bet, but Hashem made a brit with them at Har Sinai, not with your ancestors, with those standing here today, right? Anyone above 40 was there. God spoke directly with you. You experienced it. You know it to be true. Pasuk Hay adds something important. Anochi omed bein Hashem uvenechem ba'et ahi la'agid lechem edvar Hashem ki yireitem epnei ha'esh ve'lo alitem bahar. Moshe reminds them not only about how Hashem spoke directly with them, but about how Moshe, right, was the channel of communication because the people were afraid and asked them to go. He now tells them everything that God said at that time. Paskutet. Et advarim ha'ele diber Hashem al kol kalchem bahar mitoch ha'esh. Hanan v'arfel kol gadol v'lo yosaf. V'yichtevei mashnei luchot avanim v'yitneim elai. And we have these luchot as a way of remembering it. So you know it was true, right? Pasikhab. When you heard God's voice from the darkness, fire, etc. You all came to me, Pasikhab Aleph. And you said, God has shown us His greatness, right? He's shown us. Re'inu, end of Pasuk Aleph. Ki yedaber Elokim et ha'adam v'chai. We've seen that God can speak to man, and the man can live. Why is that important? Why is it important, the end of Pasuk Aleph? Re'inu ki yedaber Elokim et ha'adam v'chai. we'll get back to in a second. It just shows how far we are from appreciating what Moshe is trying to get to here. We've seen that God can speak to man and he can live. Now we don't want to die. We don't want to push our luck. You suggested that I go hear the rest. Hashem heard your voice, said to me, I heard what they said, halavai that they'll always fear me this way. Tell them to go back to the tent. And you, Moshe, stand with me and I'll tell you the rest of the mitzvot they need to know for Eretz Yisrael. Why was Moshe choose the one who was going to be the one in between? God appointed him? Where did the idea come from? Where did the idea come from? He did. After, how the story is told here. After,
people were unable.
People came and said, hey, we can't handle this. You go hear the rest and tell us. And God said, okay, good idea. Why is it important that the people asked Moshe Rabbeinu to do this?
Because Moshe's about to die.
That is true. But why is it important that the Jews asked Moshe to go hear the rest? Something I think much more important here. Maybe you're not a big enough apikoros to appreciate it. God gave Moshe many, many other mitzvot at Har Sinai, right? Stuff that Bnei Israel didn't hear. Okay. Now keep in mind, when was Moshe supposed to tell them the rest? When they were going to go into Israel. How much later was that supposed to be? A few weeks, right? Ended up being tens of years. So Moshe's coming now and telling them hundreds of mitzvot they never heard of before. Devor, if you were an apikoros, what could you, you know, say? What's going on? Before Moshe can tell them any of the mitzvot, he has to remind them where the mitzvot come from and why they should believe in him. And what's the reason they should believe in him?
We,
the Jewish people, experienced God speaking to man, so we know that it's possible. We saw God speak to Moshe in a way that we couldn't handle, and we ourselves suggested that you, Moshe, go and hear the rest. So now Moshe comes to Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph and says, "Vizot haMitzvah Chukim haMishpatim Asher Tivah Hashem Elokeichem leLamed Etchem LaAsot BaHaratz Asher Atam Rim Shom LeMishta." The reason he's quoting the Sefer Devarim is not to repeat the Sefer Devarim another time. When I tell him about Har Sinai, or the importance of remembering Har Sinai, which is important, by the way, and was mentioned in Perek Dalet, I'm not disagreeing with that. He's not saying it for that reason. It's not to believe in God, Devarim. It's to believe in
Moshe.
And the truth is, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu who came up with the importance of Har Sinai as playing a role in solidifying the faith in Moshe Rabbeinu. As we saw last week, so I'm not going to go through it all again, that was the stated goal of Mamad Har Sinai in Shemot Perek Yutet Pasuk Tet. When Hashem said to Moshe, I'm going to come to you in a cloud and speak to you in front of the Jewish people so that they will believe in you forever. Moshe heard that goal stated there, so he understood that that's what he should use it as here. This is pretty basic and important. Now the question is, even though it's last week's Parsha, and even though the Aseret HaDibrot were discussed in Parsha Yitro, would you like me to tell you a little bit about the Aseret HaDibrot? That's kind of like a question it's hard to say no to, right? The way I formulated it, but you could say no. Annie, I'm tired.
No.
Looking at you, you're also tired. No. I'm looking at you, it's making me more tired. We're both tired. You okay?
Yes.
Okay, I'm trying to hold out here. So everyone's got to be not tired. Okay. So, the Aseret HaDibrot. So I think I mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, last week about the fact that the way the Torah breaks it up based on the Pesukim themselves, Anochi and Lo Yelcha are one, right? Because you have the second Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Pasuk Tet that wraps it around, right? And so really the difference between the way the Torah breaks based on their words versus the way we have it traditionally is that Anochi and Lo Yelcha are really one, and where do we make up, you know, for the missing one? Where do we make up for the missing one? The Lo Tachmod and Lo Tetaveh. In fact, in Sefer Devarim, it's even more pronounced than in Sefer Shemot, because it's not just twice Lo Tachmod, but the first time it's Lo Tachmod and the second time it's a different verb, Lo Tetaveh, right? I think if you look carefully at the Debrot, you see that they divide into three categories. I know I'm coming out because for a second time, because we know there's five and five, but I think within the content, there could be, it breaks into different types of categories, but the one I think is more textually based. The first four are different than the rest in that they're not just, you know, a lotase. There's a reason, there's an implication. Right? The first one, which is serve Hashem and not avodah zarah, the reason given in Pasuk Tet, lotash shachvele and lotash dem ki, anuchi Hashem lokecha el kanap, okay, avon avot adonim al shishim al vinusei chesel alavai, okay. Second one, Pasuk Gudalef, lot yisa Hashem Hashem lokecha lashav ki, lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisa Hashem lashav. Third one, Pasuk Yudbet, shamor et yom shabbat lakacho, sheish yamim v'yom ha-shvi, etc. Why? Pasuk Tetvav, v'zacharta ki yevet ha-yita v'yotiach Hashem v'mitzayim, right, the reason is given, the goal is given. Pasuk Tetzayin, kabed et avich v'ati yimecha, leman, not a reason, but a goal. Leman yarichun yamecha, leman yitav lecha la'adama asher Hashem lokecha noten lecha lach. The rest of the Dibrot, the next six, don't have any reason or implication whatsoever. Now, if you look at the last six, I think they subdivide into two categories also. Anyone? The first three are just a word, right? Lo, tirtzach, lo, tinaf, lo, tignov. The three afterwards all add words, and they all add the same word. Re'echa, right? Isn't that interesting? In fact, the Torah doesn't use the word chavero. We use it today, Adam lachavero, right? The Torah doesn't use that word. The Torah uses the word re'echa. Like, where else? What pasuk is based on the shayat that they wrote? V'ahavta le'echa kamocha, right? Ben Adam le're'echa. So what's the difference? Why is it divided this way? Lo tirtach is not ben Adam le're'echa. Obviously, it's a bad thing to do to somebody else. But the root of it is not the way you're treating a friend. It's an action that's problematic. Lo tignov also involves other people, but the root of it is lo tinaf also involves other people, but the problem is the action. It's really an action one can call being problematic towards God and problematic towards other people. The last three are really more subtle and about the way you relate to your friend. And the truth is, the last three, I think, are spin-offs of the middle three. In what way? Lo tachmod eshet re'echa is a more subtle form of? I don't know about that. If I had a choice, I would say, how about this? Let's start this way, Devorah. Lo titaveh beit re'echa sadeo v'avdo v'amato v'shoro v'chamoro. Why is your friend's wife separated from his possessions? What's the difference between desiring your friend's wife and desiring your friend's house? You understand the difference, right? One is, you want to steal his house and his possessions. His wife, you don't want to steal, you want to, right? Lo tinaf. Spins off with lo tachmon eshet re'echa. Lo tignov spins off into lo tadaveh beit re'echa. And what's a more subtle form of killing? How could you kill someone without actually shooting them? You guys are too, you know, pure. You would testify falsely against him in court, right? It's called frame him. The last one, I think, is the weakest connection. But once you see the other two, the fact that the third one can line up. So they're, you know, we're moving from the actions that are problematic objectively to things that are problematic because of how you're relating to re'echa. So that was just worthwhile to speak about the Masechta Devarim. Okay, any questions about this? So let's move on to part two, right? Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. So we saw. Pages are stuck together. Here,
okay, again?
Yes.
So where did we get the pasuk split up of five and five?
It's mentioned in Midrashim. Okay. The Perek Vav, v'zot ha-mitzvah ha-chukim ha-mishpatim ha-shotiva ha-shem ha-kirim l'amenet ha-chamasor pa-arat ha-shotem v'rim shalom l'rishtah ומעטיבת השם לקחת שמור את כל חוטה בצעותיו שאנחנו מצווה לצעור ולעבדה ולכם לך ומשם לך שבת ושמעת לעשות שיטה וחשון ומדרון כשאתה ממשם ולעבדה ארץ ובת חלב ודבש. These are the mitzvot to keep there in Eretz Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, part 2. Now, as we saw before, after you've finished this first Aseret HaDibrot section, you have two more sections. And the two sections are similar, and you can see from the Christian count, you know, just quantitatively, The first one is Vav Zayin Chet. The second one is Tet Yud Yud Aleph. So there are two similar length sections of three prakim. And what's also interesting is to see how the end of each of these sections reminds you of the beginning. I don't know if we have to take a careful look at Sukkim Vav, Perek Vav, Sukkim Yud through Yud Bet. I think we know them well. Let's take a look. Right after the first parasha of Kriyat Shema, Vayaki Yivyecha Hashem Elokecha La'aretz Asher Nishba La'avotecha La'avraham La'Yitzchak La'Yaakov La'Teilach Arim Gdolot V'Tovot Asher Lo Banita V'Vatim Aleihem Chatuv Asher Lo Mileita V'Vorot Chatzvim Asher Lo Chatzavta Koremim Zeitim Asher Lo Natata V'Yachalta V'Savata Hishamer Lecha Pen Tishkach T'Sham Shavotzei Chamayot Mitzvayim Mibeit Avadim. Okay? Now let's take a look at the beginning of Perek Chet. As we know, Perek Chet is the conclusion of this first section, right? The second section of the first of it. Very similar psukim there. We'll have to, of course, see what the difference is between them. It says, Perichet, Pasuk Zayin, Hashem Elokecha Maviyachal Eretz Tova, starts describing how beautiful the land is. Pasuk Yud Viyachal Tavisavata Veirachta, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hishamer Lecha Pen Tishkach at Hashem Elokecha, Pasuk Yud Bet, Pen, Tochal Visavata Ubatim Tovim Tivne Viyashavta, Uvikorcha Vitzoncha Yur Beyum Nekesh Zaviyar Belach, both the beginning in Perek Vav and the end in Perek Chet are talking about the potential of the wealth of Eretz Yisrael causing you to forget God. In a similar vein, if you take a look at the beginning of Perek Tet, section 3, Shema Yisrael ata over ayom et hayarden lavo lereshet goyim gdolim v'atzomim imeka arim gdolot v'tzorob ha-shamayim am gdol v'ram b'nei anakim. Right, you're coming to face these intimidating nations, scary nations. You take a look at the end of this section, the end of Parashat Ekev, Pasuk Chasbet, Ki im shamor tishmurun et kol ha-mitzvah hazot, asher anochi mitzaveh etchem la'asot zon la'avah et Hashem Elokecha l'lach b'shem dafka bo, Pasuk Chav Gimel, v'horish Hashem et kol ha-gim ilim ifnechem, v'ishnu gudim ha-mitzvim mikem, right? The nations you're afraid of, God will drive out from in front of you. So you see these bookends to each of these frameworks. Okay. We're going to focus tonight on this middle section, Prakim Vav, Zayin, and Chet, which is a transition from Vetchanan to Ekev. And I really do think that the Parsha division, Vetchanan versus Ekev, is expressive of the fact that this middle section, Vav, Zayin, Chet, really breaks halfway in the middle of Perek Zayin. And the difference between the Jews and the Christians is that the Jews have a split right in the middle of this Perek Zayin that the Christians obviously saw as one unit. And I think the basis is that Ve'etchanan, the unit in Ve'etchanan, begins Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet with Shema, with listening, and continues and concludes with Vishamarta. It's about listening and keeping. Shema Vishamarta. Shema v'shamarta. Take a look at the end, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We started off Shema Yisrael. We end off v'shamarta et ha-mitzvah, et ha-chukim l'mshutim asher anachim mitzavcha asayom la'asotam. Parashat Ekev is not about listening and keeping, but the implications of listening and keeping. Pasuk Yud Bet. V'haya, Ekev tishme'un et ha-mitzvotim me'ele. Ushemartim vaasitem otam v'shamar Hashem Elokecha lecha tabrit v'tachetz v'shemar lavotecha. Because you will listen and keep, these will be the implications. Ekev tishmeun, and then continuing, the second part it talks about what happens if. Take a look at the end of Perek Chet, the end of the unit. Pasuk Yutet. V'haya im shachoach tishkach et Hashem Elokecha ve'halacht achrei elohim acherim ve'avadatam v'ishtachvit ha'meidot imcham hayom ke'ovei tevidun kagoyim asher Hashem ma'avid b'mnechem kein tovedun ekev lo tishmon. Meaning, the part of this unit that's in Parshat Ekev begins with Ekev tishmon and ends with Ekev lo tishmon. The part in Ve'etchanan is about what you should do. The part in Ekev is what will happen if You don't do that. Or, I should say it differently. Well, it happened when you do it, first of all, happened if you don't do it. Okay. So now let's break it down further, starting again in the end of Etchanan. So again, it starts in Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. Here we have the contrast. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Did I speak about this pasuk last week?
No.
This is an important pasuk, right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I think I did speak about it. If you don't remember, then it's irrelevant, right? This is an important pasuk. Kavalat Amuchot Shemaim. We cover our eyes, right? I'm afraid if we cover our eyes now, it won't end well. In any case, why is this pasuk so important? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Is our way of accepting upon ourselves those first two statements, the two things that Hashem said directly to us. Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. How can you accept that upon yourself? What do you say?
Hashem
Elokeinu. Hashem said, Lo yalecha lehim acheirim al panai. How do you accept that upon yourself? Hashem Echad. We write a big dalad, stress the dalad Echad, and it's Echad velo acher. Lo yalecha lehim acheirim al panai. So it puts on the table this concept of Hashem and no other. And we want to internalize Avat Hashem. It should be Al Levavecha Vishinantam Levanecha. We really want to internalize this concept of our relationship with Hashem as opposed to anything else. And that's what that's what the rest of Parshat Ve'etchanan is about. This contrast. This contrast between Avodat Hashem and Avodat Zara. We begin the first piece. Yud through Tesvav. Yud through Tesvav. And that's about Yud through Tesvav is about the danger of Avodah Zarah, right? Today you're going to commentary through, you're going to find all this great stuff. Make sure you keep fearing God, Pasuk Dalet. Don't follow the gods of the goyim. You can understand why you would. You see how successful they were. Right? We saw that as a reason for the second statement of God in the Aseret HaDibrot. Right? We begin with the danger of Avodah Zarah, and in Perek Zayin we conclude this unit with the danger of Avodah Zarah. The beginning of Perek Zayin, Shvi, the part that's in Ve'etchanan, is about the danger of Avodah Zarah and how you have to stay away and don't marry into them, right? I want to stay totally away from Avodah Zarah. What are the middle pieces about? Tet Zayin through Yud Tet, Chof through Chof Hei. The Chukim of Hashem, right? This is the contrast. Chiastically, right? Not serving Avodah Zarah, sticking to and following correctly the Chukim of Hashem. The Chukim that I meant to show your relationship with Hashem. It's all about what Hashem wants from you. When your son asks you, why are we doing all this stuff? You tell him the story. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem asked us to keep these chukim. That will be good for us. Perfect. I'm not going to speak that much about this part, which is in Ve'etchanan, because we want to try and move on a little bit to Ekev. I just wanted you to get a bigger picture of what's going on here. In Ekev, we have the last part of this unit, right? The end of Zayin and the beginning and Perek Chet. And I want to speak about both of them, and then we'll conclude, and at some point we'll talk about Tet Yud and Yud Aleph. There's a lot to speak about there too, but okay. Let's start with the end of Perek Zayin. What's interesting about the end of Perek Zayin is that it is very similar to the beginning of Perek Zayin. There's a lot of basis for what the Christians say about it being a whole Perek that relates to itself. And I have this little handy-dandy sheet here which can help people see. That was for you, Todd. This one's for you. Okay, which can help you see the chiastic structure that connects the second part of the Perek, which is in Ekev, to the first part of the Perek, which is in Ve'etchanan. And what's interesting is that the middle of the structure is right where Ve'etchanan ends and Ekev begins, between Yud Aleph and Yud Bet. Let's take a minute to take a look carefully at the two parts. And we're going to want to see how they're similar. And then, of course, the next question we're going to ask ourselves is how they're different, right? What's the point of this relationship? It's not just to make a structure, right? Isn't it cool we have a structure? Yay, we can give it a sheet. Right, what's the point? We begin with, right, we begin with the goyim that we're coming to face, and that's how we end, right? We talk about how Hashem will help you conquer those nations because of your special relationship with Hashem, Am Kadosh, Gimel. Same thing in the end, God won't put the diseases that He put on Mitzrayim, He won't put on you, right? Dalid, Hashem has a special love for you. Hey, Hashem will keep His relationship with you. And right in the middle, what's the hinge that everything revolves around? Shmirat Mitzvot, right? Okay, good. Said it. Everyone sees it? Mm-hmm. Now the question is, okay, what's the difference? Not so easy to see, but very easy to see once it's pointed out to you. So should we try that? Okay, we tried the not so easy to see on your own part, right? In the first part, Moshe is telling them to keep mitzvot, to not serve Avodah Zarah, based upon their past. Let's look at Pesukim Vav and Zayin. You're a holy nation. Hashem chose you as an Am Segula. Not because you're so numerous, but Pasuk Chet, Hashem loves you, keeps the Shvua to the Avot, that's why He took you out of Mitzrayim. Hashem is someone who keeps the Brit based upon what you've seen. Okay? In the implication part, because it is an implication part, in Parshat Ekev, Moshe is now applying all this to the future. Not only has God kept His Brit in the future, but end of Pasuk Yud Bet, to you, what will He do, Yud Gimel? What Hashem will do. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Baruch tihyeh mikol amim. Lo yiyeh v'cho akar v'akarav v'vimtecha. V'heisir Hashem in the future. You will eat the nations in the future. Moshe is talking about the mitzvot they need to keep based on the past, and then talking about the implications of what all this will have for the future. Okay. What I really want to focus on, though, is Perek Chet, and particularly the relationship between Perek Chet and Perek Zayin, which at first glance is very hard to see, but I want to show you how it connects. As we just spoke about, Perek Zayin is about not being afraid of the nations you're about to face. Hashem will keep His Brit with you. Hashem will take care of you. Particularly from Yud Zayin all the way to the end of the Perek through Pasuk Chavav is a long piece about how you're afraid these great nations. Don't worry, Hashem will take care of you. Okay. Perek Chet seems to be about something totally different. What's Perek Chet about? Have you guys begun learning the Parsha yet? Sorry for being choshed that people might learn Tanakh, Torah. Terrible thing. Devar, you making sure nobody's learning any Tanakh? Us to learn Tanakh, you know. Now you might say it's only us for boys to learn Tanakh, right? Because they're supposed to be learning Torah Shabbat Peh. But girls should be. But we have to make a gzera. We're afraid if we let the girls learn Tanakh, it might lead to the boys learning Tanakh. You with me? So that's why girls aren't allowed to learn Tanakh either. We're relying on you here.
Okay, I'll try to enforce it.
What are we afraid of in Perek Chet besides people learning Tanakh? Yeah, that's a safe answer anywhere in Devarim, right? We're afraid you're going to get to the land of Israel. You're going to have everything you need, right? You're going to have this wonderful land. And you'll forget Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yishom erelecha, pen tishkach et Hashem elokecha, levil tishmor mitzvotav v'mishvotav v'chukotav v'shanachim mitzav v'hayom. Pasuk Yud Gimel, right? Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. You're going to have to be satisfied and eat and have homes full of everything and flocks. And you'll forget Hashem. And as I mentioned before, this perek should remind us of what we saw in Perek Vav. And if it doesn't remind us well enough, all you have to do is turn it over to the handy-dandy sheet that I gave you. Handy-dandy. Ah, yes, 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 yes. Let's take a minute for everybody to see the similarities. The similarities are the underlying part. Now, of course, those who are ahead of the game are going to figure out the difference.
Here it's like kochivot and yadiyot.
That definitely is mentioned. What we're afraid, the conclusions you're going to reach are different. But why are we afraid of different types of conclusions? What's the backdrop? Let's go back. What are we afraid of in Perek Vav? You're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, what are you going to find? When you get to Eretz Yisrael in Perek Vav, you're going to find all the good that you didn't have to prepare. Like Ket Moshavah, right? Coming to dinner. All the good you didn't have to prepare. So who are you going to serve? What's the danger? What are you going to do? What's the danger? What are you going to do?
So then you're just going to be caught up in it.
You're going to forget God and do what? Yeah, why would you serve Avodah Zarah?
Because
you see how successful the other people were, right? Well, who were their gods? What's the fear in Perek Chet? How's it different?
You're going to serve yourself.
Yeah, why?
Because you mean that it wasn't.
What's going to be your basis for serving yourself?
You did it yourself.
Because these are things you developed. It's not the stuff you find of other people. Plus a good bet. You're going to build yourself good homes. You're going to multiply your flock. You're going to multiply your money. Now the fear is not you're going to serve Avodah Zarah, but v'rom levavecho, your heart's going to be high, and you're going to think highly of yourself. Very important to understand the difference, right? And in fact, Perek Chet is the bigger danger today, right? The things we accomplish on our own. I think I spoke about this a little bit in Pirkei Avot, right? About the different beisai for gaiva. So this is one of them. I think I also spoke about the drush at Aran. It's not on the sheet. It's written in, but it's not on the sheet. The Drash Ram points out that Hashem doesn't say you didn't do it. If you look at Patzikut Chet, the response to Kochi Yotzim Yadi is V'zachart et Hashem Elokecha ki hu anotein lecha koach lasotcha. You did it. Just remember that Hashem continues to empower you and give you, not just he gave you, but gives you and fuels you. Without that, you wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. So now the question is, what's the relationship between this Perek Chet and Perek Zayin? They don't seem to have anything to do with each other. Let's give everyone a minute to see if people can arrive at the answer. Everyone understands the question? Perek Zion is, you have these big scary nations, God will help you. Perek Chet is, when you get there and you build on your own, don't think it was you, realize that God fueled you. What's the connection?
It's like before the war and after the war.
Okay. I mean,
like,
Perek Chet isn't really connected to the war. Perek Chet,
like, you know. I don't say like the war isn't more, but like
it's chronological, but I think it's more than that. It's thematic. What should be your basis for believing that Hashem will wipe out the nations? What's your historical basis for believing that, according to the Pesukim? That's a good Zion, exactly. Ki tomar b'levcha rabim magoyim elam imeni yichal hu leisham lo tira mihem zachor tizkor et asher asa Hashem lakech lefaro lecho mitzrayim. Okay, great. And what should be the basis of realizing that it's Hashem who's really providing for you even though you're doing it yourself? The next step, what Zechira, Pasuk Beis in Perek Chet, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, Pasuk Aleph, and you're living there happily, what was it for? To test you and to teach you. This should be the basis of realizing that when you get there, it's Hashem who's really behind it. And of course, what these two pieces are both based upon are the way God identifies himself to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And the Rishonim explained that the reason Hashem identifies himself this way, not the God who created the world, is because the God who created the world, we didn't experience that. Yetzia Mitzrayim is not just something we saw, it's something we experienced. It's something we appreciate, felt God's aid to us and for us, and that's why the 40 years in the desert were so important. If you look in Sefer Devarim, they're presented as not just a way of the Jews being punished, but part of the educational mission. to prepare the Jewish people for Israel by showing them that it's Hashem who really provides for them. And that's what the beginning of Ekev is building off this Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim as a basis for appreciating what you need to appreciate, for believing in conquering other nations, and understanding where your success comes from, as opposed to Kol Chivi Otzim Yadi. We didn't relate to Perek Tet, the third piece, but that'll be next time.